You're listening to The Leonard LoPate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Goldie Hawn established a career playing a ditzy dumb blonde in Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In in the 1970s, and then in a string of hit movies, including Private Benjamin, Shampoo, Foul Play, and The First Wives Club. But lately, she's been devoting her time to an effort that has nothing to do with show business, helping school children feel less stressed and more optimistic about their lives. She describes a program she's created called Mind Up in her new book, 10 Mindful Minutes, written with Wendy Holden. It's published by Perigee. Where's it, Perigee? I never remember.
Perigee, I think.
And I'm pleased that it brings her to our show today. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
The lead article in last Sunday's New York Times Magazine was about educators who are doing something very similar to what you're proposing in this book. So is this a new idea?
This is a new application. It's not a new idea because these kinds of tools and these kinds of methodologies work. Why they haven't come to the school system at this point, I really don't know. Perhaps people don't think there was a need for it. But when we look at the symptoms right now that we're dealing with our kids, we have to look at it very seriously. I mean, you know, a young boy just killed himself because of bullying, and this happens time and time again. It's tragic. Or we have 1 in 3 kids are medicated today and growing. We've got suicides up, and depression is up, and dropouts up, and it's dismal look at the state of the mind and heart of our children. And so that's, I think we could, now we're sort of paying attention of what are we going to do to create well-being.
Your own 3 children are now adults. Your youngest, Wyatt Russell, is 25 years old. Your older 2, Oscar Hudson and Kate Hudson.
Oliver, yeah.
Oh, I should have said Oliver. So sorry.
Oliver.
We haven't been hanging out recently. Kate Hudson, of course, they're in their 30s, parents themselves. In your memoir, A Lotus Grows in the Muds, which you also wrote with Wendy Holden, you said that when Oliver and Kate became overly stressed while they were in school, you went to their principal and requested that some changes be made. Do you remember what you hoped would be done differently then?
That the child would feel more engaged in the classroom, if you will, if we could enter their sense of self so it became a less objective and more subjective. And I think when you engage a child in learning and bring some of their own personality in, it actually helps them learn better.
So is that when you got started thinking about this sort of thing?
Not really. I started after 9/11. I knew, actually, as we all did, I think intuitively, the world was never, ever going to be the same again.
Now, why 9/11? I understand the world was never going to be the same again, but that has little to do with what you're talking
exactly,
about here.
Exactly. Well, so it seems. But stress is something that we're dealing with today. And I think that it just sort of upgraded the level of stress and uncertainty that we're all living with. Obviously, there's an economic downturn now. But at that point in time, there was just, imminent war. When was it ever going to end? Where would we be attacked again? Living with a sense of paranoia. There was a lot of negativity. And kids were watching television. They'd see this over and over again. And the embedding of these kinds of concepts and ideas in children's minds can be very, very detrimental.
But I get the sense that this did not grow out of your personal experience. You didn't have a rough time in school. Mm-hmm. Your kids didn't have particularly rough times. I'm not sure whether you're worried about your grandchildren. But there
it's
you
not
are
about
coming
me.
Up.
Yeah, it's about the world. It's about what can we do as citizens to be able to help the children of our country and the world. I mean, we're now in the UK, we're in the US, and we're in Canada, and moving now into Australia and so forth. The point is, everybody is looking to how we're going to be able to help kids feel better.
And when you say we, you're talking about the foundation you created, the Hawn Foundation?
The Hawn Foundation is definitely trying, and our mission is to help children thrive in and out of the classroom. Emotional stability, ability to really cognitively make good critical decisions, building leaders today that actually have emotional intelligence a little bit different than just driven by my way, your way. I think that there are ways and means to develop the human mind and spirit which actually can take us to another level.
Maybe you shouldn't be talking about bringing this program to the schools, but rather to Congress.
I you know what? Let's talk about that. I thought of about that. They need the Mind Up curriculum. Mind Up is the name of the curriculum. 10 Mindful Minutes is the name of the book. The book is extrapolated from our curriculum, and the parents are the ones that said, look, please write this book for us. We need to know how to calm down.
But how do you respond when people ask why they should listen to your ideas in education? After all, you're an actress, not a teacher or a scientist.
Right, right. Nor am I, nor do I profess to be. This is something I've studied for the last 10 years. We did incredible research on this at University of British Columbia. I would never come out and talk about what all these other experts are finding in terms of neuroscientists or positive psychologists or just psychiatrists where kids are concerned and teachers. So I'm really just a messenger.
Well, I got the feeling from what you said earlier that you think it's more difficult to grow up today than it was when we were younger. But I wonder if that's true or whether we just dealt with troubled kids in a different way in those days.
No, we're dealing in a very different age right now. We have tremendous aspects of our technology that's really stealing our concentration. We're jumping all over the place. It's rewiring our brains. It's changing the way that we're able to focus and attend to things. I think it's absolutely stealing a tremendous intimacy from our family. There's a lot of issues. The good news about this day is the internet and the computer and all that technology, and the bad news is the same. So how do we manage with this new world we're living in?
And your Mind Up program is designed to teach children about their brains?
They learn about their brain. They learn their neurobiology. They learn how to take brain breaks when they understand what stress is.
How old are they when you start doing this?
Pre-K through 8 right now. I was just in a classroom in Newark, New Jersey, where they were, let's see, second graders. They were explaining to me how stressed it can actually stop learning, and how that the amygdala, when they quiet it down through getting quiet, breathing, and focusing, that they actually can light up their prefrontal cortex. I was laughing on one side and crying on the other with joy to listen to these children have a deep understanding of our biology.
Because this is something that we really didn't deal with until junior high or even high school in the past.
No, we didn't deal with it this way.
That I really had a brain until I was
exactly. It would have put context to so many things and also put kids in the driver's seat. I think parents need to also feel in control, and sometimes they don't. So this book will really help them find a road to feel control.
Okay, so if kids understand that the amygdala, which is the part of the brain that screens information and activates the body's fight or flight impulse, which you compare to a guard dog, and the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain that's responsible for memory, thought, language, and decision-making, which you compare to a wise old owl for the kids. Okay, so they understand that. How do they then apply it?
They apply it through the various means of exercises that we do. They apply it through the various means and exercises that we do. So they learn aspects of how functional their brain is. So when they begin to apply certain aspects of their mindful tasting or smelling or hearing, they wrap it around curriculum. When we do mindful seeing, a lot of the teachers use that exercise to get them ready to do a paper for writing, creative writing, imagination, memory. These kinds of tools are what builds the brain. It's brain fitness, really.
So you said that you went to a school in Newark where this is being implemented, but are there many other schools in the country that are trying it out?
Oh, yes. We have 17 schools in Newark right now. We have about 28 schools in Minneapolis. These schools also, some of them are challenged learners, and it's working brilliantly with some of our ADD kids that are really having some issues in learning. We're all over British Columbia, hundreds of schools, thousands of children. We've got 12 to 15 schools in the UK right now and lineups for wanting more.
My guest is Goldie Hawn, who's written with the help of Wendy Holden, 10 Mindful Minutes, which is published by Perigee. We've done several segments on this show about how our brains are being affected by digital technology. Do you see that as having an impact?
Huge impact. A huge impact in our ability to focus for long periods of time. What's happening because of the digital world is that, you know, memorization right now, we don't need to do that. We can learn anything, anytime in a matter of seconds. So the onslaught of information in the brain is really kind of a sad story in some ways because our brains can only handle so much, particularly a young brain. So when you start throwing all this information at a young brain and the possibilities, you're really short-circuiting the brain.
So does your program address the continuous pressure on children to connect electronically through Twitter, Facebook, and other social media?
Social media is okay. I think that the self-awareness is important for children, to be aware when they are feeling agitated, what to do, how they're not going outside, they're not playing the way they should, they're not getting winded, they're not playing sports the way they should. Free sports. I'm not talking about that scheduled sport all the time, which is this has to be driven here and that has to go there. It's the freedom. Now, some of these children's eyes, they've been tested, really interesting. So the vascular system in the eye is beginning to shrink. What that means is these kids are sitting for too long, sedentary, they're not active any longer, and they're sitting in front of their computer.
But even in the past, I read studies that indicated that kids who read tend to become nearsighted, and kids who work in farms tend to be farsighted because at a very early age, we're training our eyes to do certain things.
Thinning of the blood vessel is different. That really shows potential heart disease in the future. It's not a good thing for children not to be active. So we learn in our mindful movement classes and so forth how vital movement is, even for growing neurons.
Well, this obviously is something that you've made a major commitment to. Have you put your acting career on hold?
10 years, yeah, 10 years. I don't think I have ever been more engaged or more interested or more stimulated and felt more, I guess, like I'm doing the very thing that's coming from my gut. Not that acting or making people laugh does not just thrill me. And I feel so lucky to have done this. But this is really a big part of who I am. I was a dance teacher when I first started.
Well, you were a dancer?
Yes, but I taught children also.
Oh, really?
And I've supported children all over the world that I do not talk about. I just love children. And, you know, I thought, well, once I had my own, it wouldn't be so bad. I'm still picking them up when they're crying in airports. So it's just, I just think every child has just deserves to be happy.
My guest is Goldie Hawn, who's written with the help of Wendy Holden, 10 Mindful Minutes. It's published by Perigee. We will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Goldie Hawn, who's written a book called 10 Mindful Minutes with the help of Wendy Holden. You've collaborated with Wendy Holden before, as I said, on your memoir.
Yes, I did. She's absolutely wonderful. Wonderful.
Now, we'd like to talk a bit about the acting career. You don't mind, do you?
Not at all.
We have a clip from The First Wives Club, which was a huge hit in 1996. You were one of the stars, along with Diane Keaton, Bette Midler, and you played Elise Elliott, an aging actress. Let's listen to something from the film.
Do it, Morris. Do it to me now. I need it. You're the only one who does it the way I like it. You're the king.
Elise, if I give you any more collagen, your lips are going to look like they got stuck in a pool drain.
Morris, I haven't worked in 18 months, and I have a meeting with a director for a part that I would kill for. I have to look sexy.
Elise, you are sexy. Look at yourself.
No.
You're incredible. You're my masterpiece. There's not one line on your face.
Oh, really? Well, what do you call that? And these? What are these?
Well, wait. You're 45. You know, if I give you one more facelift, you're going to be able to blink your lips. I mean, don't you want to be able to play parts your own age?
My own age? No. You don't understand. There are only three ages for women in Hollywood. Babe, district attorney, and driving Miss Daisy. And right now, I want to be young. Science fiction young.
That scene just went over so well. Everybody laughed their heads off. and although it's a spoof, I'd guess that there's a lot of truth there.
A lot of truth.
How much pressure do most actresses feel to get plastic surgery as they get older?
I would imagine quite a bit. I mean, if that is basically what you're known for and, you know, that's your stock and trade and your face and God knows nobody wants to get old or at least look old. We're going to get old no matter what. As I said, you know, don't fool yourself, girls, you know. So I think that there, you know, there's, and I don't even think it's just in Hollywood. I mean, good Lord, I've seen lips coming toward me that I've never seen on television, but they enter the room before they do. It's like,
well, things
oh
really have
goodness.
Changed. There was a time when Bette Davis, who was already in her 40s and 50s, was still playing ingenues mm-hmm. because we all understood that this was make-believe.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that makes sense.
Something happened.
Well, what happens when make-believe is shattered? I mean, certainly our heroes are being shattered. There is no secrets anymore. And I don't think we actually take care of that.
Well, you've produced films. Can't you produce films that give good parts to women who have gotten, who are in their 40s and 50s? And
I don't produce films anymore, but I did produce them.
Private
I produced
Benjamin.
A lot of them.
Protocol, Wildcats.
Right. Well, look, the best I could do is to actually make films that mattered and that actually indicated growth or some kind of conflict that women do have to go through. And I brought light to that. So as funny as I hoped it to be, I hoped it also to be helpful. In terms.
Well, would it help to have more female directors and producers choosing movie scripts?
I don't know, because when you know, the overall, I think, feeling is about film is that who goes to the theater, who creates the big hits in movies now are all about money, right? So it's basically big business or little business. Big business, young men go to the theater. First Wives Club, for instance, everybody took a cut in salary to do the movie, and Warner Brothers, I mean, it was Paramount, thought that the movie was a really good movie, but didn't really believe it would bring in anyone.
Quite well, didn't it?
Oh, we were on the cover of Time magazine. But the overall idea is that women's movies don't make as much money as men's movies do. So, you know, look, we are long away from the Louis B. Mayers and the people that actually ran studios. I remember the first studio that was bought by a conglomerate. You know, Sony, I think it was a Japanese company, bought Universal. That was the beginning of the end of the personal passion in regard to making movies. The moguls that stood behind something they believed in and went to the mat for. It doesn't work that way anymore.
You seem to not be all that interested in acting anymore. Is that because it was never your first love? That you, as you said earlier, you wanted to become a dancer, didn't you?
I wanted to become a dancer.
Prima ballerina or a Broadway chorus
girl?
No, I was
Broadway chorus girl. I really did, and I danced on television, and it's what I wanted to do. And then I wanted to go home and open a dancing school, work with children, open a dancing school, be happy, be married. I wanted a normal life. Now, that's a good idea. Well, it didn't exactly turn out that way.
You're not complaining, are
you? Not
at
all.
It's been a fabulous
life. Amazingly. I mean, it's been a charmed and beautiful, beautiful time. No question about that. Do I have disinterest in acting? Absolutely not. Am I more interested in what I'm doing now? For sure. Is there more things in the future for me? I'm working on them right now. There's an HBO series, which is hilarious, that I probably will do. There's a couple movies out there. And it'll be fun because I'll be able to make people laugh again, hopefully. But on the one hand, it's like I have just had the best 10 years of my life.
Well, this is all about your latest work about dealing with stress. And I would assume that there have been times in the business when you have felt rather stressed out. We're going to be talking in a little while to a woman who has spent over 20 years on the front lines of almost every world conflict. Mm-hmm. And much of her book is about the problems that the stress that she's experienced have caused for her and for her marriage.
Absolutely. Stress is a killer. And if we can nip it in the bud with the kids and they can start recognizing it when they're little, they won't have the same problems we have. They'll have more tools in their toolbox. Mind Up is actually looking at right now going into some bases of children. And a brigadier general had called and said, look, we really need this program in our bases. So we're discussing now how to implement in the United States Army. It's vital that we pay attention to the state of mind of our children.
I'm curious about how you got the name Goldie. Was it a nickname?
No, Goldie was the name of my great aunt, who was my mom's aunt, who was the sister of my grandmother, who took care of my mom when my grandmother died. My mother was 3. And Tanta Goldie was the angel that took care of my mom. So when I was born, that was it. She was going to name me after Aunt Goldie.
I've always wondered about how some actors are just happy to keep on acting all their lives, and others, like Robert Redford and you, get involved in other causes that seem to be really important. Mm-hmm. Is it because acting just is not satisfying in itself?
I think that every career and everything that we do has to modulate. For our passion, for our excitement, for our wonder, for our curiosity, as we grow older, those kinds of things need to stay alive. So I like the idea of a congratulating someone who, say, has been an agent all his life and suddenly starts to run a studio. Things need to change. I can't imagine being, for all these years, looking at myself in a makeup room or learning lines, although it's a challenge and it keeps your brain going. So movement is important.
And now you have this program that you're offering to schools.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing from other places that think this sounds interesting?
Oh, yes. We're Dallas, Miami.
Because I would think there's also a lot of resistance in education. Often there's a kind of a conservative side. We already have made a commitment to a certain approach, and
exactly.
That's the way it's going to be.
Exactly. I mean, this is the way it works in education. It is different in every state. It is different in every school. We don't have the mandates that we should. We've got a lot of issues, and these teachers are very, very stressed over testing, and obviously their job depends upon it. Therefore, it makes it very difficult. But the investment and the excitement around Mind Up program is just mind-blowing. Teachers are now saying, okay, none of this is working. What can we do to stabilize our classroom?
And when you say 10 mindful minutes, are you talking about a day?
10 mindful minutes is in a day, yes. Mm-hmm. 10 mindful minutes, 2 mindful minutes, whatever you can take to go back to your core, bring yourself back to center, start to focus in on what really matters. Empty out your stress. Let your brain float away and come back to your beautiful breath, and then go inside your house, and then look at your children, and that way you can really see them.
Goldie Hawn is the Academy Award-winning actress, now also an advocate for giving our children and ourselves the social and emotional skills to reduce stress and anxiety so that we can live healthier and happier lives. Her book, 10 Mindful Minutes, is written with the help of Wendy Holden and published by Perigee. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.